We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, RotoViz radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name's Colm Kelly. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. I'm joined by one of the co-owners of RotoViz. It is Sean Siegel. Sean, today on the show, we are going to be talking about backfield dominator rating. We're going to be looking a little bit at a recent piece by Blair Andrews. And as well, as I like to do at the start of every show, I like to have a plug to the last show. So if you haven't listened in to Tuesday's podcast yet, head on over, check that out after this one. We talk a lot about movement in drafts, how to make those trades, and we talk about how Sean and Sam have ended up with 13 picks through 9 rounds in one of their recent startup drafts. So a really good conversation there. But Sean, as we get ready, another week into the NFL offseason, another step closer to the NFL season, and with that, a step closer to the NFL draft. And I am joking about being closer to the NFL season, but the way time flies, it's not going to be long till till we're back to that point again, I'm sure.
Right. And as we get these pro day results coming in all the time, that enthusiasm and excitement for the NFL draft builds and builds and builds. And we'll talk about some guys today who were excited about what they've done on the field, were interested to see how fast, how big they time and measure as we get the final pro day results in. And then we'll have a lot of information about freak scores and running back prospect lab, wide receiver prospect lab rankings and results as we go into the NFL draft here shortly. Today, we're going to be talking about Blair Andrews' metric, the backfield dominator rating, where he looks at the way that running backs dominate their backfield in terms of rushing production, both in yards and touchdowns, receiving production in terms of yards and touchdowns, and really what that means to evaluators, or what it should mean to evaluators as they're looking for these next under the radar stars. Now, a couple of the guys that this metric has absolutely loved that we have promoted just relentlessly on the site, on the show, and if you had them, they would have allow you to win very quickly in some cases, win over time in others. And talking about Philip Lindsay, who had those excellent back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons to start his career, a great sleeper for the Denver Broncos. Things haven't gone quite as well since, in part because it seems like the Broncos don't know what they're doing. He now has moved on. But the other big name here is Aaron Jones, who was a little bit slower to emerge. But Colin, now he was re-signed in free agency. He is a superstar for your Green Bay Packers. And if you were on Aaron Jones early, then you've gotten a massive profit in Dynasty.
Yeah, you definitely have. And I did think, I know there's lots of people who probably cashed out or moved on a little bit too early in that process. And when we remember back to that draft, him and Jamal Williams were paired pretty close in terms of how they were going off the board in those rookie drafts at the time. I think the big winner, Sean, that we would have talked about here in recent times is Philip Lindsay. I think, you know, you were talking about Philip Lindsay quite a lot the offseason as a rookie, a lot of that based as well with the backfield dominator, and it just it worked swimmingly in that opening season. Obviously he was coming in as well with another rookie with a lot of hype around an earlier draft pick, and Lindsay coming in pretty unheralded in terms of draft capital, and made it all work to his favor. So it is interesting seeing how the guys break down, how we can identify some of those opportunities, basically by looking through the backfield production and the share that that running back had on that offense. So it's going to be interesting here to break it down looking into this season. Sean, any, you know, if we're looking at it here, we have some players obviously with sample size of say 7 games, 6 games, and others with 14 games, 12 games, for example. Is there any, for the listeners, any reason to put sample size above actual overall dominator written?
We know that we have less to worry about the numbers that come out of very large samples. And one of the things that we want to do here is not just look at this last season. And Blair has mentioned a couple of the guys in that regard, but it also does allow us to compare sort of apples to oranges to an extent, because we can see how much of a backfield a running back actually represented, whether he played 7 games or 13 games, that type of thing. And the interesting name that jumps out here at the top is JaVion Hawkins for Louisville. He popped in a couple of Dave Caban's analyses. He shows up here with the top backfield dominator of 0.88, so an 88% dominator rating. To put this in a little bit of context, Blair has broken it down for us of backfield dominator ratings above 70% and everybody else. And those guys beat draft position at every level throughout the draft, very consistently through there. And so again, if we're looking at draft position as our anchor, we know that that's going to determine to a very large extent the opportunity that that player has and what the team thought of him to decide to make the pick in that range. But then we're trying to beat that draft slot. We can look at some of these other elements. And so to see someone like Hawkins, who in a lot of ways has a very Nyheim Hines-ish profile. Now, not necessarily the receiving star that Hines is. And we know that for a smaller, faster player, that receiving element is so crucial. But when we're looking at small, fast guys who can outperform at the NFL level, I think Hawkins is very, very interesting there. The number two name is someone who Blair and I have been loading up in best ball leagues in. I think that he's a very clear target for everyone in rookie drafts and in startup drafts because he is so inexpensive. It'll be interesting to see where he goes in the NFL draft, because the early rumors are pretty discouraging, but that would be Jamar Jefferson out of Oregon State. He comes in just behind at a 0.85. And Jefferson, one of those guys who came in as a freshman, put up absolutely monster numbers, has continued to be impressive all the way through, and yet is expected to go fairly late in the reality draft, despite having some size on his side as well. So when we're looking at sleepers, those are the first two names that really jump up. After that, we get a couple of the main names here. We have Najee Harris at 0.83. We know that he is going to be either, I think, the first or second back off the board. There's probably a scenario in which Javonte Williams goes number two and Harris somehow falls to number three. But to look at Harris's numbers, to see that 1,466 rushing yards, to see the 43 receptions and 425 receiving yards, even though Harris came back, he's a four-year player, he's playing in this Alabama juggernaut, it's encouraging to see him have this 83% dominator. And as Blair points out, this is pretty rare for an Alabama back, right? It's the highest for any Alabama back in the data set that he has. His 2019 backfield dominator, so a season ago, was the second highest. So back-to-back seasons being very dominating. He's the only Alabama back to even get to the 65% level. Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, all of those guys well below that. And to one extent or another, we know that all four of those backs have been very effective as fantasy stars. I think that this gives us even more of a feel for the high floor that Harris has. Now, we've talked about his breakaway rush score being very poor. The fact that despite his size, speed, package, he's actually not great at breaking the types of highlight runs that give us a sense of what a player might be able to do against NFL defenders. Even with that being the case, I think you've got to be very excited about what you're getting from a floor perspective with Harris. You look at him, we've mentioned Trent Richardson in relation to him in the past. Trent Richardson was a fantastic prospect, so the chances that his career would actually go the way that it did were pretty low. But even if you got Trent Richardson for a couple of years, you'd be very happy as a dynasty owner, because before he collapsed, Richardson put up some pretty good numbers.
Yeah, it's funny when you're mentioning Trent Richardson, is almost a forgotten man now at this point. But those opening kind of two seasons, there was a lot of numbers. There was a lot of value to having him, you know, as an asset in dynasty, but it did drop off very, very quickly. You know, when he moved over to the Colts, and shortly before that time, I guess people had started to pick it up with his inefficiencies with the Browns. Sean, the other thing just to mention, you've mentioned there a couple of sleepers, you mentioned a couple of the big names. Just for the listeners, in terms of rushing versus receiving, you mentioned you know, some of the numbers there just a moment ago for Najee Harris in terms of getting some of that receiving work in there, which is a positive sign. But how is there a split between the you know, we're looking at PPR leagues, and the advantage to having that, it doesn't affect the backfield dominant written as much as maybe the listeners would expect?
Well, one of the things that Blair has done here is broken it down for you and allow you to visualize where the production comes from. So if you want a run heavy back, you can get that. If you want a receive heavy back, you can get that. One of the players we weren't able to see a lot of this past year was Kylan Hill. His production coming very much out of the receiving game. On the other end of that, you have Jarrett Patterson, who put up these massive numbers, but actually was very, number one, rush-oriented, and then number two, didn't have as much of the Buffalo backfield as you might have guessed. So when you combine that with his size, he's someone that we've been drafting a lot in the 28th round of FFPC Best Ball Leagues because that big production, and as we know, production translates into the NFL better than a lot of these other nebulous character traits or athletic attributes that are claimed to be a part of the prospect's profile. At the same time, we want to be aware of the fact that Patterson is rush oriented. He's small, and he didn't represent as much of that backfield as people might think. And so those are red flags to balance some of that out. One of the other things that can come up here is, how do we balance the overall career versus the final season? Hubbard, someone who is falling very deep in drafts now, he and Jefferson, I think, are your two sort of potential value picks if you're hoping for big time production, as opposed to, you know, just someone who's going to give you a little bit of zero running back desperation production down the line. He actually came in ahead of Travis Etienne in this metric for this season. But if we go back to his 2019 season, he would have been an 86% dominator rating, which would have come in as number two in the class. And so we want to be aware of some of the things that these guys have done, especially some of the things that they've done a little bit younger, and keep that in mind, not necessarily elevate the one-year wonders or the old producers, guys who are in their fourth year, you know, maybe 22, 23 years old, putting up big numbers. The fact that Hubbard is an excellent athlete, decent size, and did some of these things at a younger age, we want to make sure we give him credit for that and realize that even with how bad his final season was, his overall profile is better than where he's being drafted in fantasy league. So he's someone else that you might look at a little bit there if you're looking for a value, if you're not in position to land one of the big three. Obviously, if you can get Etienne, Harris, Williams, you want to do that. If you're not in position, then look at someone like a Jamar Jefferson, look at a Hubbard, and hope that the last season for Hubbard is not the one that is most representative. We've got a lot of other good numbers on him. And so, again, the way that we can use this, it gives us good signals for our top guys. We feel comfortable with them. ETN's backfield dominator rating is really the one red flag in his profile. all of the rest of the numbers that we have, from the breakaway rush score to his receiving numbers in that offense, suggests that he is the superstar from this class. So again, when you're pulling up these articles, when you're looking at the different metrics, we want to make sure that we're looking at the whole picture, that we're taking advantage of the chance to see it from different perspectives, but not to overrate any of those individual perspectives. Make sure we're seeing the big picture there. We like those three guys. There are some sleepers that you have a shot at. You can get a little bit more information on a couple of them in the RotoViz rookie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Guide, we'll have volume 2 and volume 3 out at different junctures as we go through this process. Obviously, a lot of the great stuff on the site. We have more cool stuff from Matt Spencer coming up. Dave Caban has the new Freak Score tool almost ready for the site, so you'll be able to look at these running back freak scores to go with this. A lot of great information coming together on these prospects to, again, help you beat your draft, beat your rookie draft, and select players who are going to beat their draft slot from the reality draft.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Allow me a moment to tell you about our partners over at Blue Wire Pods, and they have opened up an opportunity to distribute your own podcast through Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, you'll get your show pushed straight to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all the other listening platforms. And the best part is you get all of this for just $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to jump straight into the podcasting game and have your voice heard, get ready with Blue Wire Hustle. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. You can also check out more information in the description box for this episode to find out more. That is bwhustle.com/join. So, Sean, in the second half, we usually go through some listener questions, some thoughts that have been sent in our way. We did use some of those on the show earlier this week. We have some more to go through now. But before we get into that, I mentioned last week about Curtis Patrick and Dave Caban hosting together the flagship show now, with Curtis Patrick jumping aboard there for the Road of His Radio flagship. Those shows have been fantastic to listen to over the last week or two. But something that has come out of it that I wasn't aware of, I don't know if you're aware of, because you're not on Twitter, but the fact that especially Dave is recommending drinking coffee with Coca-Cola mixed in it for helping fight off migraines and giving energy for working, particularly on creating and developing on some of the RotoViz apps. My question to you, Sean, to start this off is, did you know drinking Coca-Cola with coffee was a thing, and have you ever tried it? Because I didn't know it was a thing, and I've yet to try it, but it's on my to-do list for this week to see what it's all about.
No, that is not something that I have tried there. I'm not necessarily a coffee person, very much a soda person, so I fight off the migraines just with very copious quantities of the soda there. And I'm glad that it's helping Dave with the migraines. Dave is someone who, it doesn't really matter what time you get in contact with him. You know, I'll talk with him late at night and be like, well, you know I need to let you go so you can get a good night's sleep here. And he's like, no, after the call, you know, I'm going to build an app for the site. And so Dave, it absolutely fantastic. Make sure you're following his show, following him on Twitter, checking out his articles. He's got stuff in the draft guide. He's got stuff on the site. And Dave is one of the friendliest, best people that I know. I'm glad that that works for him. If you have a drink that you like, it really does make the work process a little bit smoother and easier.
You mentioned you're not a big coffee guy. I'm coffee all the time. I'm big. I love coffee. I just haven't tried it with the cola yet. But cola, Sean, if you drink cola, I'm a Pepsi guy. Pepsi Max is my choice. Are you a Coca-Cola guy, or are you a Pepsi guy, or what's the go-to cola or soda?
I like both of them, and I'll take the work to, or did before the pandemic, and I'm hoping to, again, to, you know, a sandwich shop, have a little bit of lunch, you know, read through the work people are doing, read through some of the stuff on the site, then stay there, work a little bit, get my own article put together. You're trying to not drink too much because you know that you're killing yourself with it. But yeah, it doesn't necessarily matter too much, the Diet Coke, the Diet Pepsi, both very good, especially if you throw in a splash of the cherry Coke or the cherry Pepsi to give you a little bit of flavor, hopefully not, you know, put on, you know, more than 10 pounds a month. We try to limit it to something like that. Yeah. So I enjoy a wide variety of the things there and you know, try and do a pretty good rotation around Tucson here so that no one is having to deal with me more than once a week or so. Well, getting into these questions here, we have one from Tim. He's saying, just recently started listening to the podcast, subscribed to the site, and is looking at win rate, which is something that we talk about a lot in terms of best ball and the best ball tools. He's asking for the definition of that and where to find it on the site. I think that's a good question, because it's easy to kind of get caught up in something that we've been working with for a while and think that it's self-explanatory when it's really not, right? There's a lot of different ways that you could look at win rate in different contexts. The context that we're discussing it here and usually on the show is in terms of winning your best ball league, right? So you go into the league, you're one out of 12 teams, the average win rate would be 8.3%. And what we're trying to do is to build from that 8.3% up into a range where we'd be able to make a profit on playing the different games. And so when we're looking to build into that 10% win rate by doing various simple things on the onesie positions. Say you're playing in the FFPC format and you can play in the classic format that has both defense and kicker. Well, we have articles up on the site, best ball workshop lessons, talking about how with just those positions, you can boost your win rate up above 10%. So now instead of 1 in 12, we're at 1 in 10. Then we move to maybe the more exciting positions and we see QB, tight end, again, things we can do to push our win rate up into the 12% range. And then we get down to this, you know, wide receiver versus running back. Where do you need to take them? If you take a running back early, what does that mean for what you do a little bit later? how many wide receivers do we really need to get in those first 10 rounds to feel the advantage? Because there are obviously different things that you can do. It's not just about, okay, well, are you your running back or are you starting running back? It matters all the way through how we start to build these teams. And we know based on decisions we make early, we might want to make slightly different decisions later than we would in a different type of league. We can go through the roster construction explorers that have both FFPC and some other formats to see how we need to attack that specific format. And win rate gives us sort of an anchor for understanding just how much we're building based on these different choices. Now, if you do everything right, then you're starting to get into a sample that we're a little bit more skeptical of, because the fact of the matter is very few best ball owners are actually doing everything right. And when we start to get our win rates up into the 15, 16, 17% range, we do have a little bit of a question of, okay, how consistent can we be with that? And so then we go through, we look at the different seasons. Something that worked in 2015, did it work in 2016, 2017, 2018? Something that worked in 2017, has it continued to work? How consistent are the win rates for the strategies that we're recommending? And when we find the ones that are working every single season and are working despite the fact that, okay, a tight end going early, we know there's a big advantage from that, but what if it's Rob Gronkowski and he gets hurt? And so we go through these different questions, we go through the different scenarios and try and make sure we're understanding what's happening year to year, but you can use those roster construction explorers to get your win rate way, way, way above the average. And when we're talking about win rate, that's the context in which we're looking at it.
Yeah, and it's one of those questions, and you mentioned it there, sometimes we can get kind of, we're talking about it so often that you just keep talking about it. But when the question came in on Twitter, I was kind of like, oh yeah, we haven't really given a definition for it. So I thought it was a good one to slide in. And it is something I always try and, you know, keep an open mind for somebody who's maybe first time listening to the show or has been listening, you know, for quite some time, but maybe hasn't, you know, subscribed to the site and so on and hasn't seen those things. So it's always interesting to try and think of what we're not explaining. So thanks for that question coming in from Tim. It's always good to challenge us on those things that possibly we are not describing fully. Next question comes in from Jono, and it's a longer question, but I'm going to summarize it here for you, Sean, in terms of an upcoming draft he has. It's a 12-team league, two quarterbacks, and then there is some other, you know, points per carry, PPR, and premium for tight ends. We'll just call it tight end premium for simplification, but he has 14, that is 1-4 picks in the first two rounds. I think he's trying to challenge your 13 picks, Sean, in the opening round of the recent startup. But in terms of the draft picks that he has, it's a pretty hefty selection. But what I'm going to simplify it is it's a team I like. I'm sure a lot of the players on it you're going to like as well, but my way to look at this for him, if I was trying to summarize it, would be package the picks up to move up and more from those second round picks into the first round, kind of try and maneuver yourself up a little bit higher, or would you be sticking with the picks that he's got? My goal here would be to try and consolidate and move higher up the draft board, but would you be sticking? I think it's going to be hard to roster all those guys if you do end up with them come the end of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, this is fascinating, right? This is one of the coolest things I've seen because there are so many picks. It depends a lot on how deep your rosters are. If you can put them all on there, then I would do that. So we got picked the 102, 103, 105, 108, 109, 110, 112, 201, 202, 203, 206, 207, 209. Yeah, so in terms of packaging, so there's, man, not there's much almost of what the question of how them? Would you package yeah. them, because he's got almost all of them, right? I think in this format, and it looks like a format that's fairly running back heavy with the point per carry element. I mean, it's not a full point per carry, obviously, but when you have some point per carry, you have a half PPR, then you do want to make sure that you have those running back studs and you're kind of cycling through them, you know, trying to trade them too early as opposed to too late. You know, that can be difficult to do in a format like this where they're so valuable, but then, you know, you get back more rookie picks. You can get the next ETN, the next Harris, the next Williams. With this here, I'm guessing that, you know, Trevor Lawrence goes off with the 101 and you don't get him. But then from that point on, you can land those running backs that we've been talking about. You can take a couple of more QBs, so you have that young trade value at that position. And then as you go through that second round, it's going to be very heavy on a lot of those wide receivers that we love. So I think in this draft, you're really positioned to take all of the cool guys. You know, that is what I would do here. Build this team out, you know, let that develop. And the thing is almost more not so much even what to do with these picks, which it's going to be a really fun rookie draft for you, but then to just make sure you keep turning your team over. You know, this is the perfect situation to turn it into that perpetual championship window scenario, just by continuing to trade, make sure you get more rookie picks in the future.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you mentioned some of the leagues that you're in with Ryan McDowell setting up, but he talks about the kind of perpetual struggle in terms of getting those rookie picks. I think we've seen the evidence of it here mixed in with some of the RotoViz theory with the players that he has. But the other option, I guess, is, you know, packaging those to try and get maybe some veterans in that in. But when you have such an exciting class coming in, can be very difficult to do that. So I'm looking forward, Jonah, you can fill us in on what you do decide to do and what moves you do decide to make. So it's going to be interesting. Sean, we have one suggestion in for a show this week. It comes in from Eric, talking about The Sound of Metal on Amazon Prime. He did mention that he hasn't been that emotionally affected by a movie in a while, so it's not one that I've seen, and I'm enjoying trying to cycle through. I'm almost like I'm backlogged in trying to get through some of the listener suggestions. It's not one that I have seen. Have you seen it? And if not, have you a suggestion for this week?
I haven't seen that, but I've seen some great buzz about it. So I definitely believe that. We'll have to check that out. A lot of people really loving that movie. I think one of the ones that is perhaps most interesting in a while from Amazon Prime. I sort of teased a show on Tuesday, and so we'll get that right now. This is one where I was able to watch seasons 1 and 2 on Hulu, but now have to figure out how to get Amazon Prime UK to watch season 3. The show is Mary Kills People, and it stars the star of a show that I've always loved from a decade or so ago now called Wonder Falls. But the concept here is that you have a doctor who helps patients who are terminally ill, suffering, helps them commit suicide. And yet, obviously, that's illegal in big chunks of the United States. She gets into a lot of legal trouble with this, you know, has undercover police officers after her, has some organized crime elements that creep up because it's not easy to get the drugs that she needs in order to help people, you know, with these assisted suicides. And so it's a fun show because there's a lot of plot to it and there's a lot of character to it. The leads are fantastic. And yet there's also, beyond the sort of fun, dynamic, plot-based elements, there is depth to it in terms of dealing with what is a tricky issue in society, which is, you know, how do we deal with the end of lives? How do we get to that point with dignity? How do we allow people to make their own decisions and have their own personal autonomy? And yet the tension and the conflict with laws that might be in place and people wanting to follow those or to resist, what have you. And that element of it makes the show surprisingly touching within the backdrop of having all of these more adventure-related elements as well. There are some times when it has a few false notes and doesn't work perfectly. You get that with most shows, but there are a lot of times that the show is very affecting. And now, you know, we have season 2 cliffhanger, you know, may have to, you know, move to the UK for a year so that we can catch up on all these. One of the things that's been a little bit frustrating, if you are an American Hulu subscriber who watches a variety of foreign shows on Hulu, you get to the end of your season, you're trying to find out if the show has a second season, has a third season, or if it's just been canceled. You find out that there is more to it, and then you find out that somehow between the two of them, Amazon Prime is sitting on some of these shows that are European shows, and there's no way actually to watch them in the United States. So working through that at the moment, but Mary Kills People is the recommendation for today.
Yeah, I'll have to try and watch the first two seasons and then see if I can skip ahead and get season three in before you can, Sean. But keep the listeners, keep sending in your recommendations, your questions. We'll keep trying to add them in. We usually do it in the second half of Thursday's show. We've gotten a lot in recently, so we've been sprinkling them in throughout both weeks as well. So as always, you can get yourself a 10% discount to RotoViz NFL Pass. All you have to do is add the code RV Radio 2021 at checkout, or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for further information. Perfect time to join the site now as we get ready for the draft. So much content going up. Get access to all the tools, get yourself set up for the 2021 NFL season. As always, drop us a written review on your favorite podcast app. I mentioned on Tuesday we're closing in on episode 200. We will be doing a contest for that. It will be revolving around those five-star reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, all the different ways you can leave those reviews. So if you want to get in, the entries will be counted from this past Tuesday when the first show of the week came out all the way through to episode 200. So don't miss out, get involved, and thank you very much in advance for dropping us that five-star review. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. You can read all of Sean's work up on rotoviz.com. That's going to do it for this edition of RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Until we're back with another edition of the podcast next week, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.